For Israel, the temple was an orderly, neat, clean, and sacred space. The temple was only to be used for the service of God. In Jesus' time, we find the temple had been defiled for common, ordinary business purposes. So it was that Jesus became filled with righteous indignation and anger and cleansed the temple by driving those money changers out of it. In John chapter 2, in verses 13 through 21, there's great lessons we can learn about Jesus cleansing the temple. Do we need to cleanse our temple, the temple of the body? Our bodies belong to God. Therefore, God determines how we're to use our bodies. They've been purchased with a price, the price being the blood of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 18 and 19, Peter indicates that we were purchased with something far more valuable than the world has ever known. We weren't purchased with gold or with silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So our bodies, ladies and gentlemen, must be disciplined. They must be disciplined. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 27, Paul writes, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now notice how this point, how this passage has a bearing to the point of balance existing between body and soul, the relationship between body and soul. Paul says here that I have to discipline my body for the sake of my soul. Now he doesn't use the word soul in the passage, but that is what is implied when he says, "I do this so that I would not become a castaway." What is Paul worried about? Paul's worried about the salvation of his soul. He says, "I have to control myself and discipline my body, or else I could lose my salvation. I could become a spiritual castaway." And cast away from the Lord, cast out of the kingdom. So he had to give tremendous care and attention to his own body personally. Now, our society tells us that our bodies are beyond our control in many instances. All kinds of immorality is explained as being genetic predisposition and disease. Such a view of human behavior has only de-emphasized personal responsibility for life choices. And you look around at the mess we find ourselves in morally tonight, and this notion of your body's beyond your control has contributed to it. It excuses abuses of the body. The body must be nurtured. It must be nurtured properly. In Philippians chapter 4, in verses 8 and 9, one of the more famous, noteworthy passages that Paul would pen: "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." What you and I put into our bodies matters. It makes a difference. This passage seems to imply that there are discernments that must be made. I must be aware of what is just and what is unjust. I must be aware of what is pure and what is impure. How am I going to know the difference? How am I going to be able to discern good and evil? And verse 9 says, well, you've been taught. You've learned the difference. You've received the difference. You've heard it. You have seen the difference in practice in the example Paul set before them. And so it remains very true of us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, God has revealed to us what is good and what is just. He's told us. He has explained to us. He has revealed it with the light of His Son, what He will accept and what He abhors. It is incumbent upon us to take that standard and make discernments. Earlier in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, "I want you to increase in knowledge and in judgment." Knowledge and judgment are synonymous terms in the New Testament. Knowledge is not just about what you know. Having a knowledge of God's Word just doesn't mean you can recite the books of the New Testament like my little boy can. It doesn't mean just that you can recite some passages off the top of your head. What it means is that you're able to take that knowledge and apply it to life, to the world around you. It's no wonder when Jesus, back in John 17, prayed that the disciples would be left in the world, he went on to say, following, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus wasn't just trying to throw them out, let them fend for themselves in the world. They were given what they needed to keep themselves pure and to advance his cause. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the body remains tonight to be the temple of God. It must be disciplined and it must be nurtured. And in spite of all of this, our bodies are commonly misused. I'd like to share with you some information here at this point about some commonly used drugs that are used to abuse the body and try to impress upon you the danger of them and how serious a problem it is and how it doesn't seem to be that anyone is immune from some of these problems. Alcohol is a commonly used drug in our society, and we could spend a great deal of time talking about alcohol. The Bible has a lot to say about it, prohibiting it, warning about the dangers of the consumption of alcohol. Yet it's alcohol is promoted as something that's good, that's fun, that can be enjoyed, in spite of the fact that alcohol has left in its wake a destruction of homes and families, marriages. Domestic violence can be attributed to the abuse of alcohol. You probably passed some makeshift memorials on the roadside.